Good morning, everybody. Thank you, worship team. That's beautiful. My prayer is that they could hear us in California, because they're not allowed to sing in church anymore. Yep. No. The governor signed an executive order. You can't sing in church because of the COVID virus. Taking away our praise. We're not going to let them, though, are we? No, we're not. Shield of faith. That's our number one weapon. Well, that and prayer. So we'll just have to sing louder, won't we? So they can hear us. And we just have to pray that this foolishness, this nonsense, yes, people are getting sick, and yes, people are... But... Well, anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you wield, Lord. And Lord, I know that you hear the praise that's in the heart of your people in California. And I know you hear the praise that's in our hearts too, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded of the movie China Cry, where they're meeting in secret. And they mouthed silent praises to God, because to speak it out would have been heard. Lord, are we coming to that? I don't know. But the enemy's trying to steal our praise. Lord, we pray for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that we still can praise. Lord, just open heaven today, Lord. Open your word for us. Speak to our hearts. And change us, yes, Lord. Change us. May we hear the things we need to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Linda was talking about the blood. And yes, it's very important. But I'm going to be talking about the bread today, so. No, I haven't been painted into a corner. She wouldn't do that. The blood, of course, is very important. It cleanses our sins. It does all those things that we sang about, doesn't it? But the body's important, too. The bread's important. We used to, in devotions, we used to, well, we always do the daily bread, the reading for that every day. And for a couple of years there, for quite a while, we also were doing Jonathan Cahn's Book of Mystery. We would read from that day, or one day's reading, because it's broken down into one page, one day readings. And I read this one the other day, because even though we don't do it in devotions anymore, I still do. And it's the reading for the other day that I read was the mystery bread. If you're not familiar with the book, the way it's said is a student and a teacher. And they're out in the wilderness somewhere, out in the desert somewhere, and not exactly modern conditions, but there's a lot of teaching, and there's a teaching and a lesson each day. And this one is the mystery bread. We went for a walk through the wilderness. He shared as we walked. Imagine what it was like, said the teacher, wandering through the wilderness and having your food come down from the sky. You mean the manna from heaven, I asked. Yes, he said, a miracle with a spiritual revelation. The true bread of our lives comes not from earth, but heaven. It is not the earthly, but only the heavenly that can fill us. And as bread is to our bodies, so is the word of God to our souls. An amazing picture, I said. Manna from heaven. It is, he said, and there's something even deeper. Do you know the meaning of manna? No. What is it? Exactly, said the teacher. Exactly what, I asked. Exactly what, he answered. That's what it is. Exactly what is what it is. Right again. What it is what it is. Sounds like Abbott Costello, doesn't it? At this point, I have no idea what you're saying or what I'm saying. Manna is really two Hebrew words, ma and na. It literally means, what is it? So manna is a question that means, what is it? Yes, he replied. They called it manna because they had no idea what it was. It didn't fit into any of their preconceptions, so they named it manna. What is it? I'm going to save the rest of this for my closing. In John chapter 6, it's a long chapter. It's probably the second longest chapter in the New Testament. Anybody know what the first is? It's Luke chapter 1. Anyway, it starts out with Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 men. So there's also women and children, and most people speculate there was probably 15,000 people. Personally, I don't think anybody back then had only one child, so I think it was a lot more than that, but that's even 15,000 is still a lot. So he provided food for them. He became very popular instantly, didn't he? I remember years ago there was a bar that had a live band that played. And they put the band's name out on the marquee board, the rear board out front. And it was a very popular band, or a very popular bar. They had a lot of people there all the time. You know what the name of the band was? Free Beer. I don't know whether that brought the people in or not. You know, that's just a gimmick. But free beer. Anytime something's free, places become popular, don't they? You know, today is Communion Sunday. And Linda mentioned three words that really tells us what it is. The words were redirects, renews, and reestablishes. I also could add recommits, because that's what communion is. We do it once a month. We don't do it every week because we don't want it to be too common. But we also don't want to spread it out too far, because we want to make sure that we keep in mind what it is. I'm going to read from John 6:32. I'm going to read actually quite a bit, all the way to verse 59. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. His crowd thinned out quite a bit after that. They couldn't understand what he was saying. Then he turned around to his disciples and said, What about you? Are you going to leave too? They said, Where will we go? Only you have the words of life. And you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the book of John, we have three Old Testament incidents that Jesus referred to, likening them to himself. The first was in John chapter 1. He likened himself to the ladder that Jacob saw, claiming to be the means of communication between heaven and earth, and also, of course, the means of access to heaven. The second, chapter 3, he likened himself to the brazen serpent lifted up in the camp, claiming to be the healer of a sin-stricken and poisoned world. All who would look upon that, look to it, and believe that he was going to be healed, was healed. The third is in John chapter 6. He likened himself to the manna that came down from heaven, claiming to be the true food for a starving world. Do we live in a starving world? We need that food, don't we? There's three things in this passage that we're going to look at. The first is the bread. The second is the eating of the bread. And the third is the promise of the bread. The bread. You know, it's interesting to note the process that Jesus uses here. All through this passage, it's like he has something in his hand. He's got his hand closed around it, and he holds it out. And slowly, one finger at a time, he opens it up to show what's in there. That's the way he sells this. We see examples of this in verse 32, 33, and 35, although it really is all throughout the passage. You can read it. 32, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." There we see he's talking about the true bread. The next verse, verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." There he's talking about the bread of God. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The bread of life. The life, of course, we know is in the blood. Is there life, too, in the bread? I believe there is. I believe there is because Jesus says there is. The eating of the bread. If there is food on a table, and if it's prepared and presented in a way that makes our mouths water, it doesn't do us any good if we just sit there and look at it, does it? What do we have to do to get the full benefit of it? We have to eat it. We have to partake of it. Looking at it won't fill us up. Looking at it won't nourish us. We have to partake. The eating is an act of faith. But we have to remember it's not a one-time event. That's why we have communion more than once. We have to renew. We have to reestablish. We have to recommit. We have to rededicate ourselves, don't we? It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous one. The dinner that you ate last year isn't going to satisfy your hunger pains today, is it? You must repeat the meal. You must partake over and over. When you feast on this bread, can you overeat? You can eat too much? I did some of that yesterday. I was miserable last night. Well, it's a holiday, right? Yeah, well, that doesn't mean you can make yourself sick. I didn't quite make myself sick, but very uncomfortable. The third thing is the promise of the bread. The bread that perishes feeds a life that perishes. But this bread is not a bread that perishes. This bread defeated death and the grave. This bread is the bread that provides everlasting life. Because that's the life that Jesus is talking about. He's not saying that you're going to live forever on this earth if you eat that bread. He's saying you're going to live forever in heaven. But the life we have on this earth, of course, is abundant, isn't it? Because we have Him in our heart. Because we partake of that bread. Today is Communion Sunday. The things he is saying here in our text, he's not talking about communion, is he? And yet, communion is about exactly everything he's talking about. Now, he's not talking about communion, but communion is what he's talking about. Do you understand that? He's talking about the relationship, and he's talking about abiding in us and us abiding in him. But yet that doesn't mean that the same principles he's talking about are also the same principles that we see with communion. Have I confused you? Our text and communion both proclaim the same thing, that the flesh and blood of the sacrifice for sins is the food on which a sinful and a cleansed world can feed. He's talking about salvation. But he's also talking about nourishing the ongoing fellowship that comes after salvation. Verse 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. He didn't say, I'm the bread of life. He said, I am that bread of life. He's referring specifically. He's referring specifically to it. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, or every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven. You can't separate what Christ gives and what Christ is. I'm going to confuse you some more. He gives the bread of life, but he also is the bread of life. He gives the peace that surpasses all understanding. And he is the peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he is joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way, the only truth, the only life, life eternal. He gives. And he is salvation. If you look up the Hebrew word for salvation from the Old Testament, in many cases, it doesn't work every time, but many cases where it applies, the Hebrew word is Yeshua. So his very name is salvation. I am that bread of life. That he should give it, that's a lot, isn't it? But doesn't it mean a lot more that he also is it? That it's what he is? I'm going to ask you a question. Actually, there's a lot of questions that can be asked towards the end of a sermon. Today, my question is not, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? That's an important question, of course. The question is not, do you believe in Jesus' incarnation? Do you believe that he became flesh and dwelt among us? Once again, that's an important question, but that's not the one I'm asking. Of course, you're free to think about it and answer it if you want. Maybe you should. The question is not, do you believe in an atonement for sin? Once again, that's an important question. That's an essential question. They all are, aren't they? They all need an answer. The question I'm going to ask is, have you partaken of him? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And how would you partake? This morning, as we partake of communion, I'm going to read the rest of this, and I'm going to ask you to keep it in mind when we do partake. So the bread of God, the word of God, and the blessings of God that come down from heaven are called manna. What is it? That means if you are to receive the blessings of God, you cannot receive them as something you're familiar with. Something to be expected, or something you already know. You must receive them as manna, as what is it? As one receiving it for the first time. As a little child, continually surprised by his love, in awe of his wonders, and overwhelmed by his grace. Receive it as something totally new, and it will become totally new and bread from heaven. open your heart to the manna of His word, the manna of His grace, the manna of His love, and never stop living in newness and wonder of so great a love that it must leave you saying, manna, what is it? Today, partake of the bread of heaven. Seek the manna of His word, the manna of His love, and the what is it of your salvation. Today, I'm going to encourage us all to partake of this as something new, something wonderful, something fresh. We don't want the things of God to get stale, do we? And there's a danger of that. Approach it as something new, something wonderful, something fresh. Shouldn't that be the way we approach everything pertaining to the Lord? Yeah. I'm going to ask Bill and Wayne, do you want to come? You want to help out? I'm going to ask them to pass out the elements. First Corinthians 11:23-33. We ought to have this passage memorized by now, shouldn't we? We're working on it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night on which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We're not be condemned with the world, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What's being talked about here is the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. And you notice in verse 28 it said, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. In other words, after we examine ourselves and after we talk to God about it, then we can freely eat and drink, can't we? But I'm going to ask each one of us to examine ourselves and just place those things before God that we find there that are contrary to Him. It's coming. Has everybody been served? Well, obviously we needed more time to talk to the Lord, didn't we? I don't believe that was an accident. Everybody got? Okay. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the bread. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you gave to be broken for us. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed, the blood that cleanses us of our sins. Because as the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You met that need for us, Lord. You meet all our needs. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, once again, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the things you've taught us. We thank you, Lord, always for your guidance and your direction and your protection, Lord. I pray, Lord, you touch each person in this room with your spirit, with your love, that you would fill the places that need filling, that you would heal the places, the things that need healing, and that your presence, Lord, would go with each one of us through everything we do, Lord. Lord, help us to be today and always everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.